here. So it is the 28th of June. I can't believe it's nearly July. What? Yeah, let's get here. I just really want to invite you to feel your feet on the floor and kind of feel your bum on your seat. Close your eyes if that feels comfortable to you. And just, hey, Esther, nice to see you. yeah, just let your attention travel up through your feet and into your legs, to your thighs. Notice how your seat holds you. Let your belly soften, your shoulders slump. Your arms relax. You might want to put your hands facing upwards. Just let them be open. Feel into your neck and jaw. Feel free to stretch if you wish. Let your jaw relax and soften. And just go over the top of your head. Let your face soften. And come down to your heart. Just give yourself a little thank you for making this time for yourself. Come down the front of your body. Back into your feet. When you're ready, just give your toes a little wiggle and come back to the room. It's really nice to see you all. If you have something you're bringing today or you want some support on, please feel free to mention that in the chat. One of the things that we talked a little bit about last time we met was around our bodies and having some body acceptance. And I thought I'd just kind of open today with just expanding on that a little bit, because I've had some I've been sharing a little bit just on Instagram about this experience that I'm having at the moment with cherishing my body. And I thought it might be fun to share a little more about this, and also to let you know that my friend, one of my really close friends, Philippa Dedricks, Phil's going to come and join us for an extended session in the next month. We're just arranging a date, but she is she's a professor of psychology, and she runs the Centre for Appearance Research at Bristol University. She does some really fascinating research into body image, and we're running a workshop in Bristol in November around the kind of Venn diagram of our two passions, our work around self-doubt and body image and self-belief and body image, and how we can kind of decouple ourselves from all the messages that we're given. And we went on holiday together a couple of months ago, and I was saying to her that I really, after this year, I've had two bouts of pneumonia and pleurisy, which is one of the reasons I was away last week. I've had this, what happens is your lungs just get really inflamed, and you have this thing called pleuritic pain, which is the lining of your lung just kind of starts to get inflamed. And it causes what is like angina. So I have a bit of a heart condition. So yeah, it wasn't fun, but it was pleuritic pain, not anything to do with my heart. And yeah, I've had these like ongoing respiratory things going on, which if you've ever had like just a really bad cold and breathing is tricky, it's been a real kind of humbling experience of how fragile our bodies are. And personally, that's one of the things I've been really playing with this year. And when we were on holiday, I said to Phil, because I turned 50 in October, I'm like, what if I spent the next 6 months just utterly loving on my body? And I'm like, right, that's my intention. I'm sending it out to the sea and the universe. And of course, you know, there is that saying, isn't there, that when you if you want to make God laugh, just tell him some plans that you have. So since then, I've had these like ongoing challenges. And it's been really fascinating, like, because I hope you know this, like I use all of these tools that I'm sharing with you in Self-Belief School. That's kind of how I live. So I've been like really sitting in self-acceptance, which for me is probably like the least developed resource that I personally have, like being with my emotions and being with my needs and sitting in the kind of soft animal of my body is one of the things that I feel like I will be a student of forever. But I have been like just really sitting in, oh, okay, it's hard to breathe today. I have pain today. I don't have as much energy today. Like just rather than fighting that, just being with it. What's my capacity today? What feels real and realistic rather than trying to kind of ignore my reality and push through, which is something I'm pretty good at. So over the last 4 months now, that has been my kind of mission, is to come back to what is my body asking of me today? What is my energetic capacity, my physical state? How am I doing? So being with reality now. And what I'm also, as some of you know, we're moving back to New Zealand at the end of this year partially to care for my mother-in-law, who is increasingly frail at 83. And that has been, again, that humbling experience of, oh, this energy, this capacity is finite. So one of the things I've been doing is strength training, like because I'm actually not very strong unless I really focus on that. And then it seems my body type responds really well to strength training. And I'm amazed at my muscle tone that's growing over the last few months of this. So it's been this fascinating experience of feeling both my strongest and my like most fragile, and being with the full kind of gamut of that, and bringing in this kind of extra layer of body image, and how for a lot of my life I've always been bigger. I've always been in a bigger body. I've always had a feeling like I should be smaller, and have, you know, it's embarrassing how many diet regimes and all that shit that I've subjected my poor body to, instead of sitting with what am I hungry for? Because often it isn't food. I'm very good at emotionally eating. So it's been a really interesting journey, and I sort of feel like I'm coming into a sort of new phase of this where what felt really hard at the start doesn't feel hard anymore. Like sitting with, how am I feeling today? What's my energy today? At the start, I felt like I was just in a little battle with myself. But practicing and experimenting with that has led to more ease with just being with what I'm capable of on any given day. And some days it feels like freaking invincible, and other days it's like really not invincible. But I find it quite interesting how as I'm noticing like all the messaging that I'm getting from the outside world, social media and the general mainstream media particularly at this time of year, about what my body is supposed to look and feel like, how obsessed I'm meant to be with the problem of menopause, which I'm not. I don't have any symptoms and I'm still ovulating at 50. So it's kind of like this real interesting experience of curating the voices I'm letting come in and you know, filtering those out in a really conscious way, but also learning to trust that my body is going to give me really good information that I can also trust. So it feels like I'm sort of like dialing down a lot of the external stuff and trying to practice with listening to what's happening inside. And it is really fascinating how differently I feel. I've lost nearly 2 stone, like just on a practical level. I have way more energy. My skin feels really good. I'm drinking a lot more water because I'm paying attention. What am I hungry for? Sometimes it's not food. I've realized that I actually don't like a lot of food that I used to eat quite regularly. So I'm just really paying attention to what feels good in my body, what actually tastes yummy to me, and then what sits nicely, what kind of supports my body and is easy to process. All of that has been a real like sharp learning curve. I feel really good. And it's that thing of, I remember a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, is this even a thing I'm doing? Like it didn't kind of feel real yet. And then after about 12 weeks, something sort of kicked in. And I think I weighed myself for the first time because I'm not very good at that. And I just, but I thought, oh, it's quite an interesting external measure to know, oh, wow, I've actually lost like 10 kilos. That's insane. And now it's sort of feeling like, even though this wasn't really about weight loss, that is a kind of real external measure to say, oh no, this is a real thing that you're doing. Like you are changing, you know, your physical shape, your form, in a way that feels quite ease-filled. And it's nothing to do with those external voices. It's more about what is the best thing I can do to support this home that I will only ever have. So I just wanted to share that and just kind of give you a sense of, like Phil said, we're just doing a workshop. You don't actually have to like go through this whole damn like 6-month project to kind of, you know, but I'm like, yeah, I know, but I really feel like it will be a fun way to share that experience as well and share what I'm learning as I'm going through this process. And Phil, who's also lives in a bigger body and has no desire to change her body and is kind of in this place of like, I am so good. And so I'm like, I want to get to where you are. And I feel like for me, that involves some changes. Whereas for her, it's like, no, I'm just good with the status quo. Whereas she wants to develop some self-belief around some other stuff. So we've got this really nice kind of conversation that's ongoing as we kind of build up to this workshop. So I just wanted to share that with you. And strength training, Shana, it's insane. And it's so good for those of us who are in aging bodies. Like once you get to sort of your 40s, actually being able to lift heavy things is like the benefits of that are insane. It's so good. It's so, so good. And of course, you know, we're given these messages, right, that actually our bodies should be small and delicate when actually our bodies should be, when they're strong, it means that our muscle tone is greater. We're probably going to be eating more protein and things like that, which is amazing for our blood sugar level and our general kind of hormonal health and metabolic health, which is, yeah, it's super fun, super fun. So enough from me. What is going on for you guys? What? Who's got something? What's happening? Yeah, Esther. Please share. Definitely something I'm thinking about taking up. Yes, do it. Do it. Do it. I found as well, I haven't joined it, but I go to a gym and work with a trainer twice a week. And she works out of the gym that's closest to her home. which is in a quite industrial part of Bristol. And it's the gym is full of very young men. And because it's all about strength training, it's all free weight. So there's no cardio equipment in the gym at all. Like there's a kickboxing thing. And they do a bit of CrossFit out the back. They've got this kind of outdoor gym, but I don't really use that. So there's a lot of very young, lots of black men who are in there lifting weights, doing their thing. And of course, they're just the sweetest. Like, I think they think it's quite adorable that these kind of aging white women come in and work with Danny, my trainer. But it's like one of those places where I just thought, oh, well, if I was going to join a gym, it would probably be a woman's gym and it would be super slick and there'd be nice shower facilities. And this is not that at all. And I've developed such an affection for this very industrial building. And the guys that go there, it's like really cool. And they know me by name now and I get kind of high-fived when I do a personal best. It's ridiculous how much I kind of love it. But I'm just finding like how interesting it is to get completely out of my comfort zone with this, like not to sort of pad myself in a nice feminized pink gym, but to actually be in the sweat and the bodies and, you know, the grunts and all of that stuff. Super fun. And lifting heavy things, it feels freaking awesome, especially if you're carrying a bit of rage, which I don't know about you, but that's a thing as we age, I suspect. It's really, really cool. Yeah. Oh, I love that, Kate. Yeah, strength training has been amazing. You've been doing this 7 years. Amazing. Yeah, exactly right. That decoupling of exercise and weight loss, I think, is a huge thing. And I think I'm still wrapping my brain around that because I still would like to lose a bit more weight. And partly for me, it is for aesthetic reasons. I just feel better when I'm in a size 12, 14 and I'm in a 16, 18 at the moment. But it's also, I think, that messaging around smaller is better all the time. I think I've spent so much of my life in that it's hard to kind of decouple it. So I'm noticing like my measures of success at the moment are twofold. It's about changing my body and losing weight, and it's about being able to lift heavier. But I'm hoping that as I get a little bit more comfortable with my body size, that focus is going to shift. And I just love that, Kate, for you, as you are in a smaller body. So it's like, actually, it's kind of strong is important, right? Yeah, love it, love it. You kind of can't lose with this stuff. Really cool. Anyone got anything that they're bringing today, or questions or updates or anything they just want to share? What's going on with you and self-doubt and self-belief? Hey, Esther.
Hi. So I have started my training, somatic coach training, and so I am flying by the seat of my pants currently. It's really very interesting to see how the experience is for me doing something that is very it's very stretchy, but it's also highly supportive. So it's kind of got the balance right. But yeah, quite a few things have cropped up where I've thought, I need to revisit my self-belief.
Do you want to share anything that's been coming up for you, Esther?
I think I'm just finding myself trying to coach a much younger version of myself. Yeah, I think that's where I'm I'm sort of caught in between this, like a healthy adult self who knows what I want to do and it understands what feels good and what feels right for me currently. I'm between this person and this much, much younger version of myself who is like, oh, this is really scary. I don't belong here. What are you doing? I'm not good enough for this. I'm not ready for this. Feels sort of thrown in at the deep end. And yeah.
So that voice, the one that's saying, you're not ready for this, what are you doing here? That's the younger you?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because
is there a particular age?
I think it was probably my teen years. I think what I've realized is that there's not a specific incident. There's like just a really familiar feeling of being in situations that I'm not ready for.
Right.
Yeah. I think perhaps being in situations I didn't have the right level of maturity to deal with or self-support adequately with, so it's just left me feeling a bit unsafe, I think, when I go to do new things.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So that teenage you is popping up to say, oh, this feels familiar and we don't like it, so let's try and protect you from it.
Yeah.
By holding you back from it or trying to get you to hold back from it.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's because I'm doing it. It's not like I'm not doing the thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just the level of support that I need to give myself that is quite energy consuming.
Oh, it sounds like it's just noise, right? Like it's noise that takes up space.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's not stopping you.
No.
It's absorbing your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what does you now, right now, your healthy adult self, what do you want to say to that teen you? What did she need to hear back then?
I think it's around I think there's a bit around self-acceptance, that it's okay to be where you are currently. And I've had this sort of pattern of rejecting myself when I don't do as well as I hope to. So I think that's where some of the that's what's fueling the worry, is that I'm going to really come down very harshly on myself.
So notice that pattern, right? You're in a situation that's new, unfamiliar, and when you were a teenager, that you didn't really feel equipped for. So you feel that fear, and your critic self is coming in saying, the way to create safety is to do this perfectly.
Yeah.
And then when you inevitably, because you're learning something new, kind of don't reach that standard, then you get to say, see, I told you.
Yeah.
Which feels safe because it's like, this is the expectation I set for myself.
Mm.
So it's almost like I do have some control here because I'm, you know, I've decided unless I do it perfectly, I won't be safe. I haven't done it perfectly and I don't feel safe, right?
Mm.
So interrupting that noise is about giving yourself a different expectation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What feels like a healthy adult expectation to have of yourself right now?
I just I'm setting the bar quite low, but I just want to be okay to just try stuff.
Yeah. So imagine if, right, just as you start that noise starts up, you're like, hey, it's okay to just try stuff. Mm. We're just trying some stuff out here. Okay.
Yeah.
When you believe that, like that thing of it's okay for me to just try this, who knows where it's going to go? What emotion comes up for you?
I just felt the impulse to just be looking through notes.
Right.
You know, I just feel like some sort of safety net needs to be there.
Right. Say more about that.
So I did some practice as part of the training and found myself just completely like rabbit in headlights type of thing, sort of, oh my God, my brain just went completely offline. And I was like, looking at my head, thinking something come to me to say. And it almost felt better that I'd had that. And I thought, okay, that's pretty much the worst that I anticipated happening. And it happened and it was quite uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the person that I was practicing with then, when we switched around, then had the same experience.
Amazing.
So I think, sorry, I've forgotten what your question was, Sass, but I think what I'm trying to say is that I don't really like to think of worst case scenarios, but then I think my worst case scenario played out and actually I was able to recover from that quite quickly.
So we were talking about the idea of needing a safety net.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you could, like, one of the ways to support yourself right now could be to come up with some, like, quite helpful beliefs to hold.
Mm.
Right? Like, it's fun to be learning something new. Because it sounds like you're having a good time.
Yeah, it's good. Stuff.
Right? Like, yeah. It sounds like that's a true thing. And that's the thing with when you're coming up with helpful beliefs, you already believe them. There should be no resistance because it's something you already believe.
Mm.
So things like it's fun to be learning this stuff. It's okay to try some stuff out.
Mm.
Right? This is the perfect time to screw it up because I'm in learning mode. And I've got these fellow students around me who are all learning. We're all kind of, you know, bumbling around together. Like it doesn't have to all make sense straight away.
Yeah.
There's time for me to figure out what this looks like in my life, what this means for me.
Yeah.
Notice how all those beliefs are just like way better than I've got to be perfect. and holy shit, do I belong here? Like, because that's kind of like our protection, right? Our first line of defense is going to be protection, keep me safe. But it's a kind of false sense of safety. It's absolutely what you described, searching for the notes so you can read them verbatim versus what's coming to me.
And then
kind of going with that and seeing what happens and experimenting. Feeling safe to just give it a go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I've really noticed that the postures that come with all those worrying thoughts as well really inhibit the helpful stuff coming through. So I think that's I'm in the right sort of arena to work that stuff out, but yeah, it's just really noticeable how rigid you can become when you're frightened.
Exactly. And you know, I just love that this is the topic is, you know, somatic coaching, right? So it's all about being present to your body. And I imagine there's an element of that, of being with yourself, supporting yourself. And our bodies are so freaking wise at giving us information.
Yeah.
And so that whole idea, you know, we talk about in self-trust around your body's compass, it's going to give you the yes and the no and all of that jazz. It's like you can kind of do that for yourself in the moment. Like, oh, where am I intuitively wanting to go with this, you know, this coaching conversation? What do I remember from my class? How does that, you know, what's spontaneously arising here and the energy between us?
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you described, right? You do the thing where, oh my God, rabbit in headlights. I don't know. I don't know what to say. And you know, your trainee partner is going, oh, it's okay, let's have a breath and come back to something. Something will always come, right? One of my first coach teachers said, what I want you to do is when you feel the energy kind of go or you can't remember what to say, you just do a big ta-da in the room. And that's and it's sort of like you kind of clear the energy and make a joke out of it. And it, you know, you can just kind of relax. The day that I learned that, I'll never forget it. The day that I learned that, and I thought it was so brilliant, I was in M&S getting some dinner or something. And I turned around and my bag knocked over an entire display that was like as tall as me. It was a huge noise. And you know, when the whole room goes quiet, and I just went, ta-da, in the middle of the store. And lots of people kind of laughed and I got a couple of golf claps, which I thought was quite funny. But it's that thing of when we feel like we're going to be embarrassed or humiliated or we're going to do something wrong, the more we can kind of hold ourselves with that gentle humor and compassion, the easier it is on our nervous systems when sometimes that shit happens. Yeah, so feel free to ta-da your way through it.
Yes, well, that's the whole thing. That's I really want this to be really fun. I don't want to create any more challenges for myself than are necessary, really.
Yeah. And so with that noise, you know, it's not benign, even though it's not holding you back, it's just taking up that space. So, you know, setting some intentions, using your stuff, right? Set intentions before each session. Are they online or are you in person?
Online, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so you can set some intentions. Here's how I want to feel. Here's how I want to show up to this. Here's a belief I want to hold and or an emotion that feels really good to me. Like it could be, right, today I'm going to be curious. I'm going to ask some questions. How will I know I'm being curious? I'm going to ask some questions. You know, I'm going to feel free to express my curiosity today. Or it could be, oh, today I'm just going to be like a sponge. I'm going to absorb everything I can because that's where my capacity is right now. So you just kind of get to play with setting those intentions. Whenever you're doing something in a more mindful way, you are engaging your healthy adult self because you're actually deciding, okay, this is how I can show up today, rather than responding or reacting to whatever's thrown at you, which will tend to generate that first response, which is always the first line of defense, which is protection.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Amazing. So it's been so fun to watch you go through this process of, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I found this course. I don't know if they're going to want me. And now you're in it, doing it, right? So remember, you a year ago were in a very different place. You had a different challenge, right? That's no longer the challenge. Now it's something different. But how cool to look back and see, you know, that you're continuously growing and expanding.
Yeah, I feel alive.
You know, I honestly think that's the thing that we forget about self-doubt, is that there are gifts in it. And when you do something brave, like a new course or learning anything new, trying anything new, setting a goal for yourself that you're not sure if you're going to be able to achieve it, that is going to bring up some doubt, and there's aliveness in that. It's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, right? When we're in that place of always knowing, right, if you have a very safe life where you try to eliminate uncertainty and doubt, you're having a life that is probably going to start to feel quite stagnant after a while. It's like, well, there's no surprises. There's no, you know, there might not be any doubt, but there's no moments of joy and, you know, the thrill of trying something new. Often our values don't get expressed when we're trying to manage our doubt really carefully. So I love that you've said that. You're feeling really alive. Great. The world needs more people that are enlivened, you know? Yeah. So cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing. I love that, Sheena. You're going to use ta-da in your life wherever possible. If you're as clumsy as me, there's loads of opportunities. Loads and loads of opportunities. Anyone else got anything they want to share or bring to a little group? Yeah, Sheena.
So I've had this kind of realization, I think, in the past couple of weeks that I just really wanted to share, because I thought, particularly if anybody's watching these videos, it's kind of, I thought it might be useful. So these groups that we've had since January have been the best. Like, I've loved them so much. They're literally the best bit of my week. I love them. But I've found, you know, the one in January where we did about the girls?
Yeah.
That was, like, so much easier for me to, you know, engage with, I suppose, because it was about something very specific and I could talk about this very specific thing that I was doing. Whereas these ones seem obviously a little bit more, you know, whatever's going on. And I've found that very difficult because of this belief I've realised is a belief of me, which is like, I'm like, oh, well, I can't say anything because I'm the least important person in this room. Nobody's interested in what I'm saying. Everybody's going to be eye rolling when I'm saying words. I'm going to be taking up space, bada, 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 all of that. And I was thinking about it over the past couple of weeks and going, well, you know, yeah, like that is how I feel. I've always felt like that. But maybe actually that's not a 100% truth. Like maybe it's not true. And this is how my whole life is that whenever I'm with a group of people, I'm always like, well, I'm not going to say anything because I'm literally the lowest of all, everybody in this group. Can't say anything. It's always been the truth. But the past couple of weeks, I've been like, hang on, maybe that's actually the martyr protector, right? And that's the one that I was like, of all of them, I can't see myself in that one. I can see the bystander. I can see the critic. I can see the scapegoat, like 100%. But the matter, I was like, oh, that's not me at all. But it is this, in this thing here, because this is how I feel. And this is, it's shaped so much of my social, you know, because I go into every situation going with the belief that nobody wants to talk to me. You know, when we do things and we have to speak to the person next to us, I'm always thinking, oh, I bet they're really unhappy that they've got to speak to me, like, because I'm the worst person in the room. And that's like an actual 100% belief that I'm now going, and people have said, you know, it's not true, but it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't get through. But now I'm thinking, oh my God, it's the martyr.
I freaking love this, Sheena. Oh my God, yes, exactly. Huge, huge breakthrough.
Mm.
Notice how you're doubting this doubt.
Yeah.
What if that isn't true? Right, this is the thing, right? We can all go, oh my God, Sheena, do you even know how much we adore you? Right? Like we can all pile in with that, which feels very true to us and is very easy for us to believe.
Mm.
But notice how you've got the protective barrier that says, no, no, they're just being kind, or no. So it's almost like it reinforces that belief. But when you start to doubt it, it totally changes.
Mm.
So I'm curious to know, when you believe that, right, like I'm the least important person in the room, how do you feel?
Oh, awful. Just, you know. I'm questioning, you know, like I'm really questioning everything, every single word I say, like trying to edit myself to say the right thing, just feel really low and down and, you know, just horrible.
And how do you show up when you feel like that?
Yeah, like probably not approachable, probably not, you know, the very thing that I'm trying so hard to not be, I'm probably that thing.
Yeah, right? And so then you get evidence, right? Because it's like when someone is showing up and they're like going, don't talk to me because I'm not interesting or have nothing important to say. It's like we can kind of sense that in some ways. It's like, oh, that person doesn't want to engage or isn't really up for this kind of thing.
Mm.
And so you then experience the evidence, right, that it's true, right? Because everyone else will be talking to each other, whereas you're thinking, oh, I bet they're disappointed that it's me that they've got to deal with and all of that sort of shit. So you kind of end up creating this self-fulfilling prophecy. No wonder then it becomes, oh, that's just me.
Mm.
And like you said, in every social situation, I just feel like I'm the least important person in the room. Mm. So this is the thing. Even if you like decided, right, today I'm going to be super gregarious and but I still believe I'm the least important person in the room. Mm. You would probably get feedback, right? That is, and that feedback would be both spoken and unspoken. That still proves you're the least important person in the room because you still believe that.
Mm.
Right. And this is, I think, the trick. It's kind of the advanced belief buster stuff, right? Is it doesn't really matter what we do, because if we still believe that unhelpful belief, we'll still get that kind of result in our life that actually I am the least important person in the room because that person didn't really talk to me or wasn't really engaging and I was trying super hard and maybe that was weird for them, all of that kind of stuff, right? So, and this is why the real, like, the kind of, you know, superhero move here for you is to find much more helpful beliefs to be thinking. So you've done this insane, like, insanely great thing of doubting that the story you've been telling yourself is true, which for those of us who know you a little bit are like, well, yeah, duh, of course that's not true. But you were just kind of going, oh, hang on, I really believe that this might not be true now. So I'm curious to know, Sheena, what could be true? What might be a more helpful way of seeing this situation? When you're in social settings, mm-hmm. some more helpful way of looking at this?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's hard.
It is. It is. Because it's like you've got a part of your identity is I'm the least important person in the room. Mm. But it's not actually who you really are. It's just a pattern of belief. Mm-hmm. And this is why I always recommend starting with how you want to feel. So in a social situation, even in this group here, how would you like to show up feeling?
I suppose maybe relaxed.
Relaxed. Mm. Nice. Yeah, just chill. Mm. When you're relaxed, what do you tend to do? How would we know you were relaxed when you were showing up?
Well, it would, for me, it would be like not overthinking everything.
Right. And so if you weren't overthinking, what would you be saying or doing?
I suppose what I actually think and feel and reacting to things, just, you know, normal in a relaxed way.
Yeah. So there'd be like, it sounds like you'd just kind of contribute and you'd share what you think and you wouldn't be kind of in your head and trying to manage people's reactions and all that jazz. It'll just be more spontaneous.
Yeah.
So, and if you were showing up like that, what do you think would happen?
I think things would be more enjoyable.
Yeah.
And, you know, things might happen. I mean, not particularly on this call, but like in life, I suppose you might be more likely to follow through on relationships and kind of develop things, and, you know, things could happen rather than if I'm not closed off, I suppose.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and you've got some evidence that that's true here, like just in you sharing in the chat today and in sharing now, it's like we're all kind of engaged in what you're sharing and interested in what you have to say about all of this. Mm. So you get to kind of be part of it. Rather than watching from the sidelines, you get to be in it. So how's that feeling for you right now? Like just in showing up today and contributing?
I mean, I feel quite uncomfortable, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, well, but this is just such a massive, like, I know, obviously, you know this, it's just mind-blowing when you go, well, hang on, something that I've genuinely thought was true, like, I was like, this is an actual fact, 100% about myself. And now I'm like, maybe it's not a fact, like, that is just, I can't believe it.
Yeah. And so... And this is the thing, right? You show up relaxed and you're like, guys, I've got to tell you this thing. It's like so fun to see you realizing this thing about yourself that we can all plainly see. Mm. That you're such a valued member of this group, and it's so fun to hear you share. Yeah. And so I would love to give you like a little bit of homework, mm-hmm. right? to just experiment with, you know, what do I need to believe to feel relaxed and just share. Mm-hmm. See if you can, you know, like, you know, set that intention. Oh, I'm just going to be relaxed in this group, whatever it is, whether it's a family situation or a friendship thing or a work thing, whatever is going on. And just see what happens when you kind of contribute and show up relaxed and connected to folks. Because then what you're doing is giving yourself some real live data, information, feedback about what really does happen when you show up slightly differently. Right? And that's going to give you a self-fulfilling prophecy that it's safe for you to show up relaxed. When you're relaxed and not overthinking the conversations and spontaneously sharing what you think and feel, letting people know your ideas, good shit happens, right? And sometimes it will be like, you know, Marjorie from accounts. Oh, well, I don't like what Sheena said. It's like, okay, so Marjorie from accounts didn't like it. But that's very different, right, from no one is interested in anything I have to say versus Marjorie from accounts was a bit of a dick when I shared that one idea, right? And this is the thing, right? We start to move out of that absolute language and into something quite specific. And then it's like, do I really care what Marjorie thinks about this one thing? Am I just going to keep going, right? Because this Sheena actually wants to connect and contribute and be part of things and prove to myself that it's plainly not true, that I'm not the most, you know, that I'm the least important person in the room. That there's a past me that believes that, but that isn't who I am in the future and in the present. So I'd love to see you experiment with this and see what happens. And then when you can contribute next week, tell us all about it. So it's almost like, see if every day you can do a tiny micro experiment where you say or contribute or, you know, be part of a group every day in any small way. And just notice, like, how does it feel before, during and after? Like, what actually happens for you? That's the kind of data and information that you want. And I guarantee you, you do this a couple of times, and it's almost like after a while, you can't quite grab hold of that belief, that original belief. It's like it sort of doesn't have any energy to it anymore. Like, oh, I used to believe that I was the least important person in the room. What was that about? Like, I don't even recognize that me, because look at how I show up now. It won't take long for that belief to lose its pull and its energy. So fun. Oh my goodness. We're unleashing Sheena into the world. Oh, I just love this so much. Love it. Love it so much. Yeah, really cool. Such a great share, you guys. Thank you, Essa. Thank you, Sheena. That was really fun. So let's come back next week and see how everyone's doing. Yeah. Take care of yourselves, and see you on next Wednesday. Yeah. All right, loves. Bye-bye. Thanks.